You are now listening to the Geek Bro Network. Check out geekbro.net. That's how geeking is done.
Hi, this is Pedro, the big old fucking nerd.
Hello there, this is Kenny. I am the under to your score.
Hey, this is Q, your one-stop shop for all things Harry Potter, and you are now listening to The Talking Geek. Welcome to Talking Geek, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to your part talk, part sass, all things geek podcast. Hello, everyone.
Hello, others.
Hola.
All right. We're trying to give you guys more of what you're asked for, which is more episodes of just some general topics, some geek news and things like that. So welcome to another episode of a whole bunch of smorgasbord of shit.
This is just us catching up. We got, you know, it used to be that geek news didn't happen at the end of the year. You're used to getting all of the summer stuff, all of the fucking Comic-Con. That was kind of it, and then maybe stuff would flood. But no, man, it's been just a flood of stuff.
Yeah. It has been a flood of shit, especially in the last week or two.
Yeah, oh God.
Since we last recorded. But first, quick update on everybody else. I just came back from Disney.
Ooh.
For my wedding anniversary.
So which parks did you go to this time?
Our two favorite parks, which is Animal Kingdom and Epcot. We tend to really migrate to those.
The drunk parks.
Yeah, a place where you can drink. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the most important part, is that I can drink. And we went to all the parks the last time. This time, well, we actually bounced around. I can't say that, because we did do some rides in Magic Kingdom the Friday night that we got there, and then we did some rides and we did the Slinky Dog roller coaster in Hollywood Studios.
But
we didn't
that?
Like
I haven't seen that one yet.
You know, it's cute. It's nothing out of this world. If you're looking for, it's because it's Toy Story, it's a roller coaster little kids can ride, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So because of that, it's a ride for Kenny.
Yes.
Kenny can ride that one.
How big did they make that part of the park, by the way?
Very small. I had already seen it the last time that we were there, and it is not anything like I expected. I also come from the world of Universal, where when they do a land, they do a land,
yeah.
And it's a very good chunk of the park when you're in that land. Even their smallest land in Islands is Dr. Seuss, and even that is still big. It's like you feel like you're walking through it. There's no exit path of Toy Story. Like, you walk in and you have
one,
to come.
You have to get out the
you
same
have to
way.
Go out the
like
same
a, like
way.
Like a pocket.
Yeah, so it's like a little corner.
Okay. It's still new.
It's still new. It has the Slinky Dog ride. It has the saucer ride for the aliens, the alien saucer ride. Ooh, it's got another similar, like, shooting game, like what's already in Magic Kingdom, the Buzz Lightyear alien shooting game. And then and it has like a one little section for food, and I couldn't even tell you what the rest of it is because it really isn't that big of a deal.
Did you see any of Galaxy's Edge at all?
No.
Could you see any of
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can see it. It's because it's built high, and you can see it from Toy Story Land, and you can see it from another little corner pocket. I only know because it's the smoking section, and it's the doors that say "soon coming." You know.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of see things there. And from the parking lot, you can see more because obviously you're at a bigger distance, so you can see further out to like what's going really high.
How big does it look?
It's going to be fucking ginormous.
Oh, no, it's going to be
yes.
great.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
no,
going to be great.
It's going to be good.
Jam it in my face.
But yeah, we did Animal Kingdom, wrote everything in Animal Kingdom as we usually do, with the exception of Cali Ripper Rapids. Every time we go, when we went with Kenny and Tiff, that we had a fast pass for that. And then it got canceled because the ride closed. Same thing happened to Vanessa
sucks.
And I.
Jesus.
I've already been on it, and so I didn't care. Vanessa doesn't necessarily
wasn't
care to get
cold?
Wet. It was and it wasn't. It was cold when we got there on Friday. Then Saturday there was like a small warm front. So Saturday was beautiful weather. Like, it wasn't blistering hot like Miami heat. But it definitely wasn't cold. Cold came Sunday and Monday. Monday was freezing when we were leaving. Monday had, when I woke up, it was 42.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was really cold because the rain that was there, we got rained on a little bit on Sunday morning, and that came with a cold front.
Yeah.
So, no, Saturday was cool. We could have gotten wet and not had been a problem. But instead, we just rode Everest like 3 times.
Not a bad one.
We did the safari ride again. And
yay. Oh, but this time you actually experienced
it. I actually experienced it this time because the last time I had a horrible anxiety attack. So it didn't let me really enjoy it.
And this time you were actually like, yo, animals.
Yeah, like, oh my God, look at all of this. And I did not get to see all that stuff. But I did notice, and because I can only notice this because the first time I went on it, I had an anxiety attack. So I was very aware of how long I was on this ride for. Because I kept going, I wonder how long this is. Oh my God, I'm going to die. When am I going to get off of this thing? And they did shorten the ride.
Well, did you see rhinos?
Yes, but not the way that we saw them.
Right, yeah, because you didn't go onto the bridge. I noticed that the first time that Tiff and I went on there, we did not go that way. I think what happens is that if the rhinos are a little bit antsy, they're going to be like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have people go this way.
Yeah, but it's not a bad idea.
Especially since our last experience with going through that safari, there's a reason why if they're excited, maybe we shouldn't go by there.
But yeah, it was shorter. And so I was actually a little bit upset about that. I was like, now that I'm okay, I wish it was the longer version of this ride.
Yeah, I wish I got the shorter version when I went because I was fucking going to, I was falling asleep when I went.
Oh, really?
A combination of it being boring and also, when I went, we had left, I think, at 5 o'clock in the morning to go up. So we had been. So basically, I was running on like a couple hours of sleep. So that was my designated nap
time. Oh, I saw
time.
Mad animals this time. We saw lions. We saw tigers. We saw a cheetah. We saw the rhinos, the alligators, the crocodiles, flamingos, nice. Pelicans. Like, everything was out and about at the time that we went, which was...
It's not melty. That's why they're just like, ah.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool in that aspect. What was really cool was Epcot does, like, a mini food and wine festival, but, like, holiday-esque. So there's not as many as, like, food and wine. I don't want anybody to be like, oh, my God, I can just go to that. No, don't. Like, go to food and wine. But this is cool because some of the countries have like a little kiosk on the outside and it's holiday foods, like things that maybe those countries might eat for their specific holidays or sweets that they might do. And
that's
then
cool.
They do this really cool, like a cookie stroll. You go and you buy cookies in different parts. And then at the end, if you have like collected all the stamps, you get a free cookie and a glass of ice cold milk at the end to go with the last cookie that you're getting. So
after
I did
spent
that.
$97, like have another tiny cookie.
Believe it or not, no. Believe it or not, each cookie was only $2, and it was and it was a big cookie. Like I have to say, we ate a lot because we jumped around, and oh my God, the Mongolian beef bao buns were so delicious. We went back there twice.
Wait, they're called bao buns?
Bao buns.
Bao buns.
Yeah.
Bao.
Bao.
Yeah. Bao. Bao. They are bitch-ass orc buns.
Mongolian bitch-ass orcs.
Yep. And they're delicious. So I tried all kinds of things. I had never had a knish before. I had a knish for the first time, and it was amazing. I don't know. I had all kinds of stuff.
I had a latke for the first.
How was that?
It was like a potato thing. It's quite good.
Like
potato
is kind of
pancake.
Like a
yeah, it's like a potato pancake.
Oh, okay.
Except that it was like when I went to a place on North Beach called Josh's Deli. Yeah, no, I thought the same thing, Josh, that we all know. Apparently, it's famous for having like it's being like a really good deli. My girlfriend wanted me to go there because they apparently have something called a Jubin.
Okay.
Which they were not selling because that's normally during the week, and they had like a brunch thing.
Which is what, like their take on a Reuben sandwich?
I think it's supposed to be like a fusion of a Reuben and a Cuban.
Oh, a Jubin.
And it's apparently
supposed
to be fucking huge. Oh. Which is why she wanted to take me, but we ended up getting that and just a normal Reuben. The normal Reuben was really good, so I want to try that.
They also had a Reuben at Epcot. I didn't try that because I went for the knish because I was like, well, I kind of I've had pastrami and I've had rye bread before, so I'm not going to
give me
do
something
that.
New.
Yeah, give me something new. So
Did you get bread at French?
No, no.
I always get like one giant loaf and carry it around with me.
We ate so
French
much
baguette.
Bouncing around.
A giant French baguette.
No, in France, what they had as a specialty, I was all about the holiday passport. Like they give you a little booklet and you start putting stickers in like different places and things that you've tried. We saw an awesome German alternative rock band that was there because then they also had music and live bands in different areas that were doing like their holiday songs or their traditions and things like that. So in France, I had one of their desserts which was some chocolate ganache things.
I can't get over the German alternative band because I just think of Soundgarten with like umlauts over the
we are Soundgarten.
But it was really cool. Actually, I went to the Edison
What'd you think?
It was awesome. Yeah. That was awesome.
Food there was good. It's gorgeous, gorgeous place. Did you have
gorgeous place? We saw the live jazz band. Nice. We saw dancers. Yep. We saw. I mean, we got there prime time. We got there at like 9:30.
Ooh,
so
that's good time. Yeah.
So it was perfect timing. Going. And it was right before like the big parts of the show popped off. We also went. We also stopped by the Irish pub and saw the live band that was there.
Nice.
Which is it's a real Irish band, which was fantastic.
So now that you've been at Disney Springs, you hadn't been there since it was. Okay. Since it was. What was
Downtown Disney?
Oh, Downtown Disney. Yeah.
Okay, I am a creature of habit, and change and I don't always mix very
well.
No,
it doesn't.
So when I first got there, I was like, what the fuck is this?
It's fucking different. It does not
the same. It doesn't even look... Like, I couldn't even imagine what they replaced because it looks so different.
The only thing I recognized from the old Downtown Disney was the bridge. That's literally the only location where I'm like, okay, I remember this.
I remember the bridge... And they even moved the movie theater.
Yeah.
Like everything moved with the exception of one little strip that led to now I can't remember what took over the Virgin Megastore. But that little strip is the only thing that stayed semi the same.
Yeah.
Everything else. And then there was so many people there. So many people that every single one of their garages was full. Mm-hmm. They even their overflow parking lot was full. I got lucky. I stuck myself in a street I wasn't supposed to go as they were trying to flow it, and I followed a family. And they were like, oh, it's going to take us a while to put out the strollers. I was like, it's going to be faster for me to wait for you.
Don't you worry about it. You take your time. I'm just going to be sitting here and watching you.
Yep, and that's the only reason that I even got parking, or I would have probably said screw it because it was just a pain in the butt after a day, all day at the park, then going home, going to
rough.
The hotel, changing to go back out again, like... It's draining at this age, and I'm just done. And with peopling and childrening. Like, I don't want to do the children.
That's a word.
Crushing humanity is very... That's one thing that people don't take into account when you go to a park is just, like, that's a lot of people to be around.
And the problem with a lot of people is cultures. You're with so many different cultures, and all of them have a different understanding of social awareness and just common courtesy.
Yeah, within the U.S.
Like, right, even within the U.S., but then I love you guys. I date one. I married someone. But the Southern American culture, Venezuelans,
I will stay quiet.
No, I will not. Fuck your face.
Yeah.
Okay? Fuck your face. They are the rudest tourists ever.
Oh, my God. Was Rude Disney
No, because I didn't go to Magic Kingdom for long. I went at night on Friday night. So I got to... Or else you would have seen my Rude Disney post all over. But these people were just... They have no concept of, like, of personal bubbles. And I can say this because I worked in Orlando, lived in Orlando, working for the outlet malls. Whenever a Venezuelan or a South American tourist group came in, we knew to be prepared because they were the kind of people that there would be a stack of shirts and everybody knows what size they are. You know, and if you don't, you probably pull between two. If this runs big or small, let me get a medium and a small. These people would literally grab the shirts and throw them in the air. Like if they were just like if you were going through drawers trying to find something to wear, we hated it when they walked in. They were like, they're just super rude. The last time we went with the whole Shire, Vanessa got into a fight with a Brazilian because he was being extremely freaking rude and was pushing on her and moving her out of the way and a whole bunch of other stuff. Sure enough, again. So, but other than that, everybody in Epcot is usually happy because they're drinking. Drinking is important. I think that Magic Kingdom needs drinks. They need drinks more than anybody else in any other fucking park at all. So, other than that, parks were great. Great. I never want to come back. I never want to come back from Orlando after living there. And just the people are so different. The music is different. The radio stations are different. We saw live bands everywhere that we went. Absolutely. Even in downtown. I'm going to call it Downtown Disney. Screw that. There was a Spanish restaurant, there was a live guy singing salsa merengue. If it was an Irish pub, there was an Irish band playing. Like everywhere that we went, it's themed. If you're an artist, go to Orlando. You're probably gonna get.
You'll find something. Yeah.
You will definitely find something.
I know a bunch of my friends down here in high school that were dancers. They almost all of the people who were serious about dance left. Most of them live in Orlando because even though it's all contract basis, they are constantly working either as like. Either like main dancing or background dancing or even like doing the choreography. Like there's a lot of shit to do up there.
Yeah. In downtown Orlando, honestly, even outside of Disney, like as Q was saying, because I've played there several times with different bands and it's always welcoming sight because even if what happened, one bar would be down, all you had to do is just literally walk to the next one. Hey, do you have an opening? We're a live band. Yeah, sure. We have a spot.
We need people. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, get on. It's fine.
And with a high rate of tourism, they have some. They need those. Because down here, maybe you'll see a live band at a bar on a Friday or a Saturday night, you know, when things are popping. But over there, things are popping Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter. So you can get a gig any night of the week.
Tourist towns, baby. People are always looking for a good time.
Except Miami. Miami's the only tourist town that it's really hard to find something every day.
Because our tourism is different.
Well, it depends on what you're
looking for, yeah. I also think that our tourism is different. Our tourism is really based upon the beach and clubs. Like, that's what it is. So notice you can get work as a DJ.
All the time. Yeah.
As a DJ, you can get a lot of gigs down here. Every bar needs a DJ. We're more into that aspect of music and entertainment than live bands.
Or rather, it's cheaper to pay one person as opposed to five.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So you have a bunch of cheap-ass fucking
Spacebar Tab
here.
DJs that I talk about?
No, yeah. It's one of those things where, I'll tell you right now, bars and places like that, they have the same budget for one person as they do five.
That's why. It's better.
And it's better for the DJ just to be one person, and then he gets paid the amount of
but
what
it's
a
also,
band would get paid.
But it's also like, okay, band, we're going to offer you this amount split four ways. Or we're gonna or this one DJ will be paid that much.
I'll tell you right now, any band that you tell them, hey, I'm gonna give you $50 if you play tonight,
they'll play it.
And it's eight people in the band, they'll be fucking ecstatic.
Yeah, here's the
$50 split eight ways.
Yeah,
they don't give a
do
shit.
It. They'll do it.
Towards
it's a paid
the band.
Gig.
It's a paid
gig. Look how many unpaid gigs bands are doing right
now. That's true.
And what I think the problem is a few things. You've got a lot of local bands that aren't necessarily cover bands. Because in Orlando, you can make money, but probably playing covers for all of these restaurants because you have all of these people who need to know this music. Down here, everybody wants to play their originals, which is understandable. Two, audience members want to hear something they know, something already that they know. They want to sing along. They want to get drunk at the bar. And you can't do that with a live band unless you're getting a live cover band. And a lot of this is the shitty part about being a booker or a bar. And I would love a band that played half covers, half originals. You mix it up. Show us what you've got for two or three songs and go back and play fucking Sweet Caroline so everybody can just sing like an idiot. And then go back and play, you know, an original or two. But that's not what bars are looking for, at least not down here. So all in all, I always love Orlando. Josh has made a meme of me. I will be posting it on my Instagram.
Oh, is that the one that you posted on Facebook?
Yeah, Josh made it. Josh made that.
I thought you made that one.
No, Josh made it, and it was perfect, absolutely perfect, that I immediately said, I was like, I'm sharing this because I'm not even ashamed that this is true.
The look on your face is pretty great.
Yeah, it is. No, he picked the perfect picture, but it's that famous meme of the guy holding hands with one but looking at the other, and it's basically the girl holding my hand is Miami, and the other girl is any other city.
Literally
any other city.
Literally any other city, although I really rep Orlando and Denver. Those are my main two, my main squeezes. So since the last recording, Bear, what have you been up to?
Oh God. So I'm in the middle of a move right now, which I've been very slowly doing instead of doing one big move day over the course of the last month and a half. I've been just like slowly moving things, just like one thing at a time. And I've been able to get most of my furniture can fit one at a time in my car. So that's
little by little,
which is fine because I don't need to be out until the end of December. So like this works perfectly at this point. I'm about like 75% gone. I don't have any of them. I only have some clothes left at my place. I have basically just
the bed there too.
My bed's the bed I'm not taking because my girlfriend's bed is much larger and better than mine. Didn't even think about it. My mattress is over 20 years old.
Oh wow!
What explains why it's so fucking busted.
Oh. And I'm sure it weighs a ton.
Well, yeah. Every time at this point it does. Like every time we do, we have a
family in there now.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh God, it's disgusting.
It is.
Every time we end up having a party, at some point everybody just ends up in my room just because I don't know.
Oh,
this is what happens.
Cross contamination.
But they've been doing that for 10 years at this point. That mattress was already pretty old when I first moved. So, between that, I've been. Let's see here. There's been a lot of. I don't know if you guys heard. I like games. I like.
I've been.
Video games.
That's what I'm waiting for you to get to. I'm waiting for you to get to it.
I play so many games.
Yeah, but get to the main one.
There's two main ones. I've been playing Final Fantasy 15 finally.
Okay.
Which, if you guys remember, a long time ago on the Talking Geek, I definitely expressed, doubt about whether or not the game would actually be worth playing and whether or not
we actually talked about
it.
Yeah,
we did. And I would have argued that right when the game first came out, I would have been, I probably actually would have kept to that. But So this is what made Final Fantasy XV so interesting. For people who don't know, Final Fantasy XV technically began as another game, as a spinoff from Final Fantasy XIII, right? And it just kept getting delayed, and just nothing came out about this game. The game was in development hell for so long, at some point they just gave up and just like, no, it's just a completely different game now.
Right.
So when the game came out, it technically was incomplete. It was missing missions, it was missing sections of the game. So while the story was done, there were land masses that you could see in the game that you couldn't go to, but they would reference and they would talk about.
Assholes.
So over the course of the game, over the couple months after it came out, patches started adding the missing fucking content for free. Luckily, they didn't charge anybody for a lot of this.
Yeah, they better not have.
Well, I mean, you'd be surprised with what people are willing
Final
to make
Fantasy. Final Fantasy is one of the very few games where they don't have quote-unquote season passes or microtransactions.
Well, they definitely had a season pass this time, because on top of them actually eventually releasing all of the other stuff from it, they actually had individual, what they were called, like episodes for all the characters.
Okay,
so the premise of the game is that the main guy is a prince from a kingdom, and he's going on what's essentially a bachelor party before he gets married to the princess of another kingdom. So he's there with his three bros, and they're driving around. It's basically Stand By Me, which...
that's awesome.
I think they play Stand By Me in the beginning of the game.
Wow.
Like, yeah, like a cover of it. And eventually each one of the other three guys has an entire like chunk of DLC added onto it.
Okay.
So the version of the game that I got is called the Royal Edition, which is the complete game, which is after all of the extra shit that they added, this has all of that shit in there. It has all of the extra DLC that came out. So I technically have the complete experience on here. And as this complete experience, I'm actually really, really enjoying it.
Can you tell me, is this turn-based real time?
So this is real time. And the way that the combat is like really, really frantic, it is almost like an sort of a fusion between Final Fantasy XII and Kingdom Hearts. It's like Final Fantasy XII because you just hit a button to attack and you'll just auto-attack, right? You're holding down, hold down a button to attack repeatedly. Then you hold down a button to dodge or guard, and then there's a jump button and then a menu button, right?
Okay.
So the strategy ends up becoming is sort of being able to manage everything that's running around on the field to be able to attack, to be able to dodge and guard at the same time, while hopefully your team members will assist you. And the AI is pretty good. The AI is pretty
solid.
Are
they doing anything like a paradigm shit, like where you can set up people's paradigm like they did in 12? No,
it's nowhere near as complex as that. I only use the 12 analogy. In other words, hitting down the button to attack and you're going to attack.
But is there any way that you can preset, like for instance, you want a healer, you want a tank, you want support?
No. So at least where I'm at earlier in the game, the only person who really can kind of control the healing is the main character.
Okay.
Eventually, later on, you unlock things where all the other characters can't heal on their own, but that's supposed to be later on. Originally, you are basically sort of like, okay, you go here, you go here, you go here. You control when other people use their abilities.
How far into the game are you at this point right now?
Oh, God. Out of like 16 chapters, I think I'm on the third chapter. I'm like really early on. There's a lot of like extra side missions and stuff that you're doing early on. I'm doing that to kind of grind it up. But I'm loved. The game is fucking gorgeous. It looks fantastic. It has a beautiful, beautiful... You would love the soundtrack. A lot of violins and bass and stuff, which the opening theme, like, again, I have no emotional connection to this game whatsoever, but even I felt something with just, like, what they were doing with the violin and that theme.
Okay.
So I'm really liking that, and I'm definitely going to keep going. That's supposed to be a really long game, so that one's going to be done over time, but... the big game that
we're
talking about
is what I'm waiting for.
Smash Brothers came out last week.
Woo!
Yes.
And
it
took me a couple of days to finally be able to start playing it because everything was conspiring against me so that I literally could not start playing it. And so I like the game. The game feels very good. If you played the Wii U Smash Brothers, it plays similarly to that. But there's like a lot of small adjustments in like how the physics work, where it's a little bit closer to Melee. So it's basically, imagine Smash 4, but a little bit faster.
Okay.
And like just barely perceptible. And
when
only
you say physics, is it a lot more floaty, or is it straight dead? Like
no, it's like it's like Melee. It's like it definitely reacts more. And So I don't have a hard on for Melee the way that a lot of people do. Like, I love it. I played the shit out of it. But, like, I don't think it's the end all be all when it comes to fighting and to Smash and everything. Like, I enjoy. Brawl had its problems on the Wii. Yeah. It wasn't the biggest, but I loved
I didn't necessarily like Brawl. So.
Yeah, Brawl had a lot of problems. Yeah, Brawl, they went like almost the complete opposite direction, and nobody was happy with it.
Yeah, no, that was a no for me.
Smash 4 on Wii U, I actually really, really enjoyed that. So this being an extension of that. And that's the funny thing is, this in some ways feels like an extension of Smash 4, but with everything else added in. So the big gimmick in this one is that has literally every single stage ever made across the entire series, every single character and more.
Right.
So we're talking about like 76 characters.
Right.
And you only start with 8.
Of course.
Which I had asked you, and so we'll ask for the audience, the listening audience, so out of those 70, how many have you been able to grind out in the week that the game has been out?
Right now I have 30, and that's that I haven't had a chance to really play a super a lot.
Oh no, I heard that if you wanted to unlock them with speed, you needed to do nothing at all for like 3 straight days but play
no
this
you
game.
Mean you could you in theory if you were grinding really really hard you could do it in about maybe 6 or 7 hours of like straight grinding on timers and okay, so the way it works, the people have been able to suss this out, is after you start playing the game, every 10 minutes the game will let you unlock somebody. So for instance, if you're playing with friends with the first 8 characters, after 10 minutes, you get your first unlock.
Okay.
Then you go in and do any other mode. After another 10 minutes, you exit the mode, you'll
get another character.
You get the fight to be able to, you know, unlock them. So there were exploits that people had kind of figured out. None of the exploits worked for me. It worked for some other people. I don't know what I did wrong with it. So I'm basically just kind of grinding it out through the main single-player mode, which is called Spirits. So it's like imagine this big map, and you're put into individual like little fights with people. And what's interesting about the story is that like they actually made it so that technically everybody's all in the same universe. So any character that's involved in Smash Brothers, you'll run into characters from that series within the Spirits mode, and then you have to do these like special fights where the characters are mimicking the shit that people do. So for instance, one of the characters from Metal Gear is in it, the guy named Hal Emmerich. He's the guy who made the Metal Gear. So in that circumstance, you fight Dr. Mario all in black because it looks like that character, and there's a giant Rob the Robot because that's what the Metal Gear looks like. So you have to fight him while also trying to fend off this giant robot.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like really funny, clever things like that that, you know, really shows that these people really cared. But I don't give a fuck, give me all these fucking characters already. Like, I just want... I just unlocked Peach. It was, like, the second to last one I unlocked, and that's been my main for the whole series. But I still haven't gotten Simon Belmont or Richter Belmont.
Oh, I know you're waiting for that.
Those are the two that I really fucking want.
Do you know when you get those? Like, have you been able to, like, check to
random.
See? They're random.
Well, see, so here's the other thing, too. There is a set order of people you'll unlock, right? But if you unlock them in other modes before, obviously it'll move down to the next person. So I'm not sure who I'm gonna fucking unlock next in the world in the Spirits mode. So I don't know who the fuck I'm gonna get next. But I do like it. The game looks gorgeous. There's something about Nintendo and HD stuff where like you spend so much time designing a game and like focusing on the art and the music and everything. And then you don't have to have it be in HD. That was the genius behind Nintendo Wii games.
Right.
It was inferior software, but with superior art direction, you can get away with it. Now, take those same art directors and make them go in HD, and everything looks fucking amazing.
Awesome.
So I'm loving the shit out of that. And the last thing, also, I've gotten into listening to more podcasts, more horror podcasts specifically.
Okay.
So there's one called The White Vault, which is, imagine like a debriefing from an event, and the woman that's debriefing the listener is presenting the documents and the recordings from this mission in Norway, where these people go to a bunker to fix some equipment, and things go horribly wrong because they find out underneath the auxiliary bunker in the middle of winter, where it's snowing really bad, they find a village under there. It looks ancient. And they find, like, And even just talking about it, like,
you got goosebumps.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps because it's fucking spooky as shit. The sound design is excellent. They do stuff a lot of like, I think it's binaural. I forgot what.
When it bounces from one side to the other side of
it's
your.
It's not just doing the bouncing; it's actually doing a good job of giving you like
a shift, like a swirl.
You can feel the sound moving. You feel things
like a tornado. Like if you're in a tornado,
kind
of sound
like a tornado. But they do a lot of stuff being able to manipulate distance from the mic, so actually things kind of sound like they're the distance that they're supposed to be if people are kind of walking around. And it is legit fucking. It's fucked up and spooky, and especially. The first season is basically all set up because the first season introduces you to all the researchers that are there, introduces you to go underground, and then when things start to go south relatively slow, and they build up to a crescendo, and then that was the end of the first season. And this current second season is everything immediately going to shit, like going to shit very, very fast.
Okay.
Wow. The other two were something called the Black Tapes, which is kind of...
Oh, I know that one.
Like This American Life, but about, you know, weird paranormal shit.
Yeah, I know that one.
Really good, except it has a really shitty ending, so I'm kind of hoping that they continue going because the ending was fucking really bad. And one called The Magnus Tapes, which is sort of like some of the stuff with the Black Tapes, but like Cthulhu kind of style, like Eldritch Horrors. So.
Okay, got it.
Wow, I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's quite good.
And Kenny, what you been up to other than building shit?
Honestly, I can't believe I did this to myself. I decided to do Magic the Gathering Arena.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Kenny.
I did it. And I've been playing now for a while.
I've been playing.
The game is interesting. It reminds me a lot of another game that I got on my phone now called Hearthstone.
Hearthstone.
Oh, I got Kenny into that game, and then he took off with Hearthstone. He went nuts with it. I stopped playing.
I ended up for Hearthstone when I played it back then. I got to level 5, mm-hmm. like as far as prestige level. Then I stopped playing. Now I started up again, so I'm back at 25 as a chicken. So, yeah, but Magic the Gathering Arena is all standard. That's type 2 for any of the older people. It's standard. Pretty much what you do is it gives you a little prologue on how to play. And for the first 10 days, no, sorry, for the first 6 days, it actually, if you play every day, gives you the incentive. It gives you a deck to play with. And it gives you different decks. So it gives you monocolored decks you start with in Magic. And then it starts giving you the pairs, like the Gruul deck, you know, an Esper deck, things like that.
It would be interesting they'll give you Gruul and Esper when those aren't available in Guilds of Ravnica yet.
I know. Yeah. Well, no, the thing is that a lot of them are a lot, if you can imagine... A lot of the decks that they give you are tribal. So you have one that's Dinosaur. You have another one that's Merfolk. Merfolk is actually huge right now. And I come to remember why I love and hate Magic at the same time. I love Magic because when you play against someone, you're playing against a person, right?
Yeah.
However, every goddamn person has net decked in this arena game.
Yeah, of course.
So everybody you play with is playing one of 3 decks, which irks me. Because
what, mono red?
You don't see a lot of red deck wins. You see a lot more of white. What is it? White green control? No, I'm sorry. Blue green control. You see, Merfolk is a big one. Merfolk is the ramp right now. You also have red deck wins you see every so often. A big one right now is also white-black lifesteal. Pretty much I've seen it where somebody's won, where they beat me, and they were at 60 health.
Oh, nice.
Right now I'm actually playing with Merfolk, and I'm also building the dinosaur deck that I created in real life, and I'm trying to implement it here, because if I can make it there, I know that. And again, all I play is just attack first. I never make anything mid-range.
You do
I never wait.
You could do some mono-green Stompy, too.
No, mono-green.
With the elves, with Launar elves being standard now, that's kind of just accelerate directly into victory.
No, and now the way that the one aspect of the game that I like, it has a few things. It gives you tournaments that switch out every week. Like, for instance, they have singleton tournaments where you have to build a deck with just one copy of every color of every card except for land.
Was that Brawl?
No, it's just called singleton event. Yeah. They also do drafts. The only difference about that is that instead of drafting with other people, you draft against the computer.
I hate that so much.
That's the only thing I can imagine, because there's no way that you can make a deck like when I was doing it, you know, and I got, oh, okay, this is a nice rare. And then the next card comes, oh, that's a nice card too. I'll just take that. Okay, this is a computer. Yeah, there's no way they're going to let
there's no way people
There's
are
no way they're going to let me. There's no way they're going to let these cards go through.
Are these phantom drafts or you get to keep the cards that you draft?
You get to keep the cards.
Okay.
Which is good. It's a good incentive. The problem is that it costs a lot to actually be in those type of events.
Yeah.
And of course, if you can always speed by paying, which I'm not going to do.
No.
Fuck that shit. But yes.
But I'm sure good. Because you play better and you build better decks, I assume that you get more things that like money you can spend on other things for the more games you win and so on and so forth, right? Is that based on is that how that works?
Well, yeah, there's price support.
Well, what's so weird about it though is that like at least with the original Magic Online, anything that you get can be trade fodder. But from everything I'm hearing about Arena, that like in order to get other cards, there's like a weird system of like breaking things down to like, but it's not very effective.
Okay, well, in the game in Arena, one of the different aspects is what they have is called wild cards. And the way wild cards work is that you can get it, they go by rarity. So you get a wild card common, wild card uncommon, rare, mythic rare. So every time you get these cards, these wild cards, you can actually trade that card in for a card that you want. Okay. So if you build up enough rare wild cards, you can go ahead and get your set of whatever card is available currently, which helps, but the amount of times you get those cards is very few and far between. You can actually pull those in packs that you buy.
Oh.
And buying regular packs is you get the money for those by playing against people and doing certain things. You get achievements. If you do enough spells a day, it gives you, you know,
right, you hit certain like goals and stuff. Yeah, it's just like,
yeah.
And if you're good in those events like the sealed tournaments and stuff like that, if you can win enough times, cuz it bases off how many times you win. And you keep winning, you keep playing until you lose two in a row. And after that, it depends how many you win is how much money they give you, which you probably, if you get more than four wins, you get your money back.
It's not bad.
Right? So, you know, I've been consistently doing that there just so I can build. But, again, what I hate is it. You also have a ranking system, so as you win, you go higher or lower. I can tell when people fucking net deck or when people pay for shit. When I'm playing against a very low level person,
and they all of a sudden
pull out on the fifth turn,
Teferi.
Teferi, or I played against a White Angel deck, which pissed me off.
Freaking flashbacks.
Yeah.
Fuck your Angel deck.
I love that deck so much.
Yeah, but it was fun, and also now I'm playing Hearthstone, and because you know I want
more cards.
You know, I used to play that crappy WWE puzzle game, and now I'm playing this.
I'll take Hearthstone over that puzzle game.
I will take anything over wrestling, anything.
Which, by the way, you can
go back
find
to the wrestling spider. Want,
the one,
spite me, you
the one cool
spider.
Thing also about Arena is that you can direct challenge somebody. So if somebody else that you know plays, you can get their code and you can play against each other. Same thing for Hearthstone. I believe they have events called fireside events or campfire events where you can meet people. You all get into an area and then you all play each other. So if anybody wants to find me, I am under Mr. Underscore with the underscore in between each word because no one had that shit, so I took it.
I mean, if you're calling yourself Mr. Underscore, I'd better see fucking underscores as many times as possible.
Yeah, like that has to be like a thing now.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah,
Lord.
That's pretty much what I've been really on. I mean, other than the fact that I can't wait for movies to come out next year.
You stacked year, man.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy next year.
All right, so
it's time for geek news.
Let's get into some geek news and some interesting news that has dropped for us and things that we're excited about. Let's just get the big shit out of the way first.
The big two.
The big two. Holy mother trailers. Batman, what the fuck? There was first Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Captain Marvel dropped first.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute. What's that? Oh,
No.
You don't like it?
No. Hold. I liked the trailer. But people have been bitching. And if I have to hear one more person tell me that Brie Larson should be smiling in a motherfucking trailer.
Oh, my God. That's
are they still going on with that?
Still going on about that.
Yes. People are still going on about that even after this trailer. That they made her so serious and blah, 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 blah. I was like, shit is popping off. I'm not really sure.
You can also tell it's like again, I'm not a gatekeeper, but that's also an example of like, oh, you really didn't read the comics. Like, smiling, that ain't Carol's game, man. She don't smile. She beats the fuck out of people.
Like, for me, it's a very sexist fucking thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think that I can go back to plenty of trailers. And I will say this, Tony probably. Iron Man once, I guarantee you he smiled and at one point because it's fucking Tony Stark.
That's his character.
That's his character. He's charming and he's going to smile when he's being a dick. Like, that's just who he is.
Uh-huh.
But I don't I just don't understand
what
why people
Carol
have to
smile.
Why
about?
Does she have to fucking smile?
She has nothing to smile about.
Nothing at all to motherfucking smile about. So, Bear, you take the lead on this because you love Captain Marvel.
Yes, I do.
And so you know the shit much more than anybody on this table, really.
So this is basically taking the direct story written by oh my God, the writer's name is Kelly, not Kellyanne. Oh my God, no. Politics, no. Kelly Sue DeConnick. There we go. Her reboot of Captain Marvel in, I believe it was 2012. So the character Captain Marvel had existed before. Carol Danvers had existed before with several different identities. But basically what she did was Captain Marvel died and the name Captain Marvel was just out in the air. So she basically was like, all right, I'm going to take it. So she went from being Miss Marvel, who was basically wearing a bikini, opera gloves, and a sash, which, I mean, might be one of the dumbest outfits I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's pretty bad. What they did was they redesigned her outfit into what's basically a flying jumpsuit, a military flying jumpsuit with these really awesome bright colors.
Right.
And just by changing her costume alone, you take the character completely differently.
Totally different direction.
And in the writing, like in the writing in the comic, like I just love the interpretation. It felt like they gave her these reasons for why she is the way she is in a way that I hadn't really seen in that character before. Now, I hadn't really followed her in her own comics, but I mean, she popped into other comics, and there was nothing that really seemed like a lot to her. And here, what DeConnick did was like made this like really wonderful character who just embodied everything about like this was basically reading that was like, okay, this is gonna be a movie. Like, it felt like immediate, like this is the beginning. It was almost like going back and being like, okay, reading Extremis and being like, okay, this is probably gonna end up being a movie because it just has that kind of storyline.
Right.
Lo and behold, they basically almost immediately went and got it was like, I think within like a couple months of that the first comic coming out, they had already gave the go ahead of the script and they're basically running with that story. So what's going on here, which is a little bit different from her origin, or we'll see. They're kind of messing with some stuff here.
I was going to ask you because they don't really.
So her origin was originally when Mar-Vell was Captain Marvel, who was the Kree soldier who landed.
Right.
She was like his sidekick. And there was an accident where she was involved and a machine popped off, exploded, and she ended up like the Kree DNA from Mar-Vell ended up fusing with her own DNA. So she's technically half Kree.
Got it.
So that's where she has a lot of the flying and the invulnerability. And this is part where I'm not sure. A lot of her other powers are kind of featuring, like, over the years, like, she's gathered, like, a suite of powers, like being able to absorb energy and fire the energy back. That's technically
very
not...
Like Rogue?
No, like Bishop.
It's a little bit like Bishop. That is technically from when she was another hero called Binary.
Okay.
So she has this suite of powers that they're trying to explain here, which it seems like there's something similar going on where she was like almost killed or something. She ends up going to the Kree homeworld and it looks like they're like doing genetic engineering on her, which would be kind of a good quick way to kind of like shoehorn in all these abilities,
yeah,
like
speedily do it. This is why you have all of this.
Yeah. So her being set in the 90s, like really awesome for one, like in the time frame of all the MCU movies. I'm really looking forward. This looks like there's going to be a lot of really good action. I like Brie Larson. I think she's fucking perfect as Carol.
I dig her.
Sam Jackson's fucking funny. Like, that's weird to see.
Jude Law's in the movie.
I love Jude Law, so.
I thought the trailer was cool. I liked her punching an old lady in the face. I know that Panda was like, he wishes that she hadn't like expressed who she was before that, because it would have been funnier if we just saw randomly Captain Marvel punch an old lady in the face with no explanation.
No,
whatsoever.
No context.
No context. Just go next to the clip scene. We're like, what the fuck was just that?
Well, I mean, if I remember correctly, in that trailer, she punches the old lady, and like a second later, the old lady like kind of slowly looks at her and just leaps up because it's a fucking Skrull.
Well, but they lead into that, you know, that
right,
it's a Skrull. So if I think it would have just been like a
no
quick
context,
no
her punching
context
the old lady in
at
the face.
All. Just punch an old lady in the face and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was excited for it. I thought it now makes sense with some of the release photos that had been sent originally when we didn't really know what plot
they
were.
She was in the green suit.
That we didn't know if it was a time jump or what it is that was going on. Like, we really didn't understand it. And now now it's like, oh, okay, cool. I like where we're going. I like seeing her as a Kree military.
She has
fighter.
She has the fucking mohawk,
which I'm so happy.
I was like, yes, yeah. Thank you.
She looks fucking badass.
She looks fucking awesome with this almost like a Roman gladiator helmet forming around her.
Yeah.
It's ready to blow people the fuck up.
I liked it. I know some people thought that it was boring, that it was meh, that she should have smiled more, that it was too serious for a Marvel
whatever,
movie.
I kind of
understand why people say meh, if only because it's another origin movie. But I'm more interested in this origin movie than I have been since maybe Guardians.
Okay.
So, and hey, that's good. That's good.
I'm interested in her origin. I'm interested in seeing an all-female, a movie about a female in the Marvel world, just her. You know, DC gave us Wonder Woman, and Marvel hadn't done that yet. And I think that they realized, granted, it was already in the phase.
They were already.
This was something that they were already working on, but yep. I think it took them a long time to get here. But granted,
they're
following
push
a story.
It, but now they're pushing it. Now I know for
because,
the advertisement, they're going to push the shit out of this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And it's important that we get new origin stories because, holy mother, Endgame, Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, if anything, you have origin stories, you get to the ending fucking story. So apparently, the term Endgame has been used constantly over these movies.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, that no one knows about.
Except
yeah.
that people re-edited and they were showing, like, oh, they've been talking about Endgame since fucking maybe the first Avengers. Definitely Age of Ultron.
Well, and the most important line is from Doctor Strange himself when he says, we're in the Endgame now. Like, he's literally, and having seen only one outcome. So, well, wait, hold.
Oh, you've seen millions.
Yeah, let's rewind.
Okay, so upon seeing the release of the trailer, and let me tell you, Marvel, you literally gave us so much foreplay because for like 2 weeks we were thinking that the fucking trailer was dropping. Oh, it's coming now. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. Nothing. It's going to come. It's going to come. Finally, it came. And the beginning, I saw it like, I think like 4 or 5 times back to back. Like the minute I saw that it was released, like I saw it. But Tony killed me. That whole beginning of the
fucking. Poor Tony.
With that soliloquy that he had for himself.
He's talking to his helmet.
Talking to his helmet.
His only friend left.
But he's talking to Pepper.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's just, it was so heartbreaking. Like, that whole scene already got me. Like, I enjoyed, oddly enough, and it felt fitting, the utter devastation and defeat on each of them.
All of them.
Yeah, and we have yet to see it to that extent. You know, they always saved the day, and they didn't fucking.
This is one where they were so. Even when they failed, if you look at the end of Civil War, technically they failed.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
There was still that feeling of like, oh, we figured
we're
going to
make it, though.
We're going to make it. And this was like. I think this is the first time where it's just a straight up defeat. Where it's just like, no, we got our asses fucking handed to us permanent. Like, no, we fucked up.
Well, and. I think it's the first time that we get we're going into something with the absence of hope.
Yeah, there's no hope.
Right.
Oh no, there was the one little hope, tiny hope.
Was when you
saw Ant-Man and you go, oh, he's out.
How the fuck did he get out?
I went through so many questions. I paused it there and I was like, wait. And then there's like all these like theories online.
Goofy Paul Rudd, just like, hey guys.
There's a theory online because. Your immediate assumption is he got out of the quantum zone.
Right? Quantum realm, yeah.
Right. And how the fuck did he get out of the quantum? Like, how did he do that? Then there was this crazy-ass theory I read online where somebody believed and wrote this entire, like, fucking blog post about how somehow fucking Captain America and Scarlett Johansson, whatever, are in the quantum. That makes
realm?
No sense.
No,
no,
but they wrote
not.
An entire. I was just like, you really don't understand trailers.
You're like, I don't think that's how it's gonna work.
No, but
this is not how any of this works.
What people think is not so much that Ant-Man took himself out of the quantum realm, but Captain Marvel.
But she doesn't have that. That's what's interesting. She doesn't. She would not be able to do that. She doesn't have access to the quantum realm.
Well,
I think that she's just going to be muscle. I mean, very strong muscle.
Yeah.
There's going to need to be.
She's
going to
be one of the
reasons. Some distractions.
She's going to be one of the reasons why they're able to do what they could to Thanos. I honestly think.
I want to see the look on Thanos' face where he's just like, oh, Kree Soldier, what the
fuck? Yeah.
Just punched in the mush.
But that's the thing is that now we get to meet Thanos after. A satiated Thanos. This is like
that was haunting. That shot of him with the fucking scarecrow, just God.
Yeah. I mean, they think they hit the mark with the entire trailer, and I think that Marvel always does a good job about giving us exactly what we want, and without going too far. Like, I don't need to see anything else after this.
I kind of don't want to see any more trailers.
I don't want to see anything
else after this. Captain Marvel. Like, I'm good with Captain Marvel. I'm good with Endgame. I'm just going to wait it out.
And here's the key thing. This is Captain America last movie on.
It's also Thor and Tony's.
Well, the Kevin, what's his face?
Kevin Feige?
Yeah. Had said just a week ago, originally, yes, but he... apparently went out and said that he's at the he has the ability to extend any one of their contracts at any time if they want to come back. I don't think that they will. I think that these guys have ran their course.
I think
course.
They're good for a while.
I also don't feel like it needs to. This I'm going into this knowing that we're losing really important characters.
Oh no, people are gonna die. Like
yeah,
die
right, like Loki died. You know?
Or did he?
No,
or
he
did.
No, he did. They announced it. He came out and said it. He tweeted about it. He confirmed that Loki is dead.
Or did he?
Because actors can be believed when they're
for
he confirmed it. The director confirmed
it. Unless Tom Holland comes out and spoils it and says that he's actually dead, I don't believe it. Because that's the only one.
I'm not saying I disbelieve you.
No, I know.
I'm just saying like. I'm just like,
But it's weird because he's supposed to be getting his own Loki show on.
Yeah,
so
that's
whatever.
Why I'm also just like, if that show wasn't around, I'd say yes. But I'm gonna.
We might be getting a
young Loki,
or tales of shit that happened to him that we don't know about.
Listen, just put Tom Hiddleston's handsome face on there, and just have him talk, and I'll be like, yo, I'm good.
I'm good. Yes.
It was a fucking good. Good trailer. What I thought was also funny was the amount of people that started to tweet at NASA to save Tony Stark from floating in space.
I love that.
Oh
they were just like, yo, come on, guy. Save Tony. Come on.
It was so good that they had to respond saying that they can't save Tony. And then they came out with a blog post that they put up on their website of scientific ways to save Tony.
That's adorable. Oh, my God. I love NASA. God fucking damn it.
They like, well,
that's
if you wanted to save him, this is how you can.
Okay, this is how we can save Tony.
Yeah, like we can't do it, but this is how we would if we could, which I thought was pretty awesome. Okay, so what do you think that they're doing, Cap and Scarlet, no, Black Widow are doing that he says, oh, this is going to work? Like, what is it that you think that you're anticipating that it is that he's doing?
I think there's going to have to be time travel involved. Because there's already shots of them wearing the same clothing, all of them in the same uniforms from the Battle of New York.
Yes.
So we're going back to Avengers 1. The biggest theory that I've heard is that somehow they're probably going to use the quantum realm to go back in time to make adjustments. So what Strange saw was changing time so that they're ready for Thanos.
Right. Not necessarily changing...
just literally one or two small changes set in place.
Right.
That'll affect everything else. Or, oh, wait a minute. The other thing I saw was something, I think it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had already set up that there was the concept that the way that time travel worked is that time travel has different timelines. Like, there's different timelines. There isn't one straight timeline. It just, things change depending on you know, changing one event, there's still the original timeline, but then it breaks off. So
yes.
There's something along the lines of using that to get either foreknowledge or to create a timeline where victory is assured and it would affect everything else. So somehow they end up back in, I think it was 2012 was when Avengers 1 came out?
I believe
or
so.
Or 2011? 2011 or 2012. They end up back there somehow.
Something has to change there.
Something has to change there.
We will then also technically get to see another fight against Thanos, but this time where we win.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Well, some people will die, but we will win.
And it's also a way that, some people were thinking to remove Steve.
Yeah.
Is that they give him his happy ending with Carter. So that's one way to remove him, let him have his happy ending, and that way you'll definitely know that Chris Evans is like, this was fun, I'm fucking done.
I don't know. I don't know if that's how they're gonna make him go out. I know Tony's dying. I know this already. I am trying to come to terms with this.
I don't think he's gonna die. I think he's gonna live, if just to leave the possibility open for him to come back. Because he might not do a full movie, but Tony cameo.
Such a tease. Just kill him so that I can get over it. Like, I need to mourn it properly.
But that means the hope will always be there that you can see him again.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm trying to mentally prepare myself. I don't want to have any hope going into this movie. If he does live, great. But I don't want to go into the movie with any ounce of
hope.
At all. I want to be mentally and emotionally prepared that Tony Stark will be done, Iron Man will be gone, and that is it.
And how sad was it to see how devastated Thor was when he was literally 6 inches away from stopping this from happening.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah.
He was 6 inches away from stopping this whole thing and he missed.
Yep. That was...
Yeah, but you know what?
That was one of the most devastating lines. You should have aimed for the head. It was just like, oh my God.
I'm so stupid.
I still want to go back and look at Doctor Strange's face during that whole scene where they're trying to subdue Thanos to see when he... Because obviously he does all that knowing.
Well, he's from the start of it. He already knows, like, all right, we got to do this.
But yeah, we got to do it and this is how it has to go, but we know that it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But that shot of Thor looked like he was dropping the best mixtape of his life in his little hoodie on the bench. Looked very Eminem-ish.
One wish.
I'm also gonna have
me to kill fucking Thanos again.
I am going to also say, and I'm gonna have a girly moment here. Why the fuck did Cap shave his beard? Unless that's 2012 Cap, and
he was
fuck.
So. Oh fuck! I didn't even think.
You
well,
didn't even
no,
notice that?
No. I think Widow had her blonde hair.
Yeah,
she didn't
did.
Have her red hair,
right.
So it's not.
So I'm very pissed off. You should have just kept it shaved for 2012.
He was so devastated that he had to shave his beard.
Was he? Like,
no, that's,
oh,
that's the joke. Of,
oh
that's
God,
the joke.
No,
people like.
Fuck
people
you, are, Chris Evans. Be a man. God
no,
damn it.
No, there was
they
no
Thor didn't go and grow his hair because he was sad. Like, not cut it.
Well, he cut his hair because he was just like, I need to be more svelte for combat.
Yes. Yeah.
Or, you know, No Shave November was over, so.
But Cap went to, like, his normal look, and I was not okay with that.
I miss it just because he looked like a Metal Gear Solid character with that fucking busted-ass uniform and the beard. I was like, bring him back!
All he needed was an eye patch and say that.
Oh, my God, he's the boss!
Also, if we're going to go be changing hair, why the fuck didn't we just dye Scarlett Johansson's hair? Because that blonde kills me.
Yeah, I'm not into that blonde.
I'm not into that in the least bit.
Not about
that
blonde.
That's not what
that doesn't
like.
Bother me.
That is not, but it just doesn't, do
she's
her.
She's a redhead. That's the thing.
Yes, she's a redhead, and she was a redhead for a very long time. You can cut your hair short, grow it long. I don't give a shit, but you're supposed
leave
to
leave it red.
Leave it red. And then, yeah, Paul Rudd at the end was great. That was just fucking.
I love that, like, his throwing in of levity I will always love. Like, he's just so perfect. And his Scott Lang is just kind of. I love the fact that his Scott Lang is like, I am so out of my element and everything.
Yeah, I will tell you. He saved Ant-Man and Wasp for me because the rest of the movie was a snore fest. Mm-hmm. I did not.
It was tough to watch.
It was tough to watch. And the only reason I watched were for moments that Paul Rudd was going to be Paul Rudd. And that is what I watched it for.
But the thing I love so much is that, like, you know, he's he's obviously being a little more heroic, but for me, Paul Rudd will always be this weird combination of Wet Hot American Summer and fucking 40-year-old version. So I'm just imagining putting the fucking shrinking belt on him where he's just walking in the room just like, well, oh, what's going on here? Like, oh, shit, the world is fucked.
Yeah, I love him, and I will, but I did like that. So I'm excited. There are rumors. So originally, I always get really, really lucky, and a Marvel movie always drops on the weekend of my birthday without fail since these phases have been out. But now there's rumors that they're going to push this release into April.
I'll take it. Give it
you
to
mean,
me sooner.
You mean bring it forward, like not accelerate.
They're push
no,
it
no, no,
forward.
Like yeah, they're going like, to make... Ugh.
We're going to push it forward, because usually when they say push it, they're like, we're going to put it to the end of the year.
Like, no!
No, no, no. They're gonna make it an earlier release. They haven't said what day, but that's
April 1st.
I'm getting Captain Marvel on the day after my birthday. I'm getting it on my birthday weekend.
Very
so
nice.
I'm very, for once.
Yes.
It's been years since I've had a decent movie on my birthday. It's usually been fucking trash, but. Mm.
Well, I mean, some of these Marvel movies weren't fantastic, but yes, I got Guardians. I got Iron Man 3. I got a lot.
Fucking, Avengers 2.
Yeah. I got a lot of them on my, I got a lot of good shit. So on news updates, anything going on? Oh, I do have something. I have a lot of things actually. Did you guys see what happened, with Netflix?
Which one? There's so many things.
Yeah, so many things.
There's so many cancellations. Right. There's so many previews.
Well, okay, so we know that these all Marvel shows have been canceled.
Yeah.
We know this already. We know that we are, because whatever agreement they were coming to happened while Jessica Jones was already filming, as was Punisher 2. We know we're getting those next two seasons. They've just announced Punisher 2 will be out in January of 2019.
Yeah, they're trying to push it
out. That's coming out like a wet fart, though, because it's just like, enjoy this season.
Yeah.
Cliffhangers, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, and then, but what also came out was the idea that all of these shows were going to be going running to the Disney stream, and that we were going to get Heroes for Hire and all that other shit. It's actually can't happen for 2 years, because none of these actors can be in anything for those characters for 2 years.
That's fine. Guess what they're going to fucking do in those 2 years?
It's an NSA agreement?
I read it today.
Probably like a non-compete.
Non-compete.
But that, you know what? We'll get the Loki show. We'll get the Scarlet Witch show. We'll get other stuff in the meanwhile. And then once those shows have gone by, we'll be missing them. We'll have forgotten the stink from a lot of the worst stuff, and then it'll be like, and hey, these guys are back again.
But yeah, so for 2 years, they cannot go on.
People were really turning on a lot of those Marvel Netflix shows, so maybe this might be the best thing.
I mean, yeah.
I know you like it, but I'm talking about just general.
Oh, no. I agree that I watched them because it was Marvel. Like, I'm also a Marvel fangirl. I'm fully aware of that. I did have problems with a lot of the second seasons of things. Like, they nailed it in the first season, and then they didn't know where to go with it afterwards. It's almost like the writers and the company itself didn't think it was going to go anywhere, and then it did. And they were like, oh, shit.
We got to figure this out.
What are we going to do now? So I agree, but I did enjoy Daredevil, and I did enjoy Punisher. And I was hoping that Jessica Jones would bounce back after this last season, because I started to care more for Trish than for her.
Yeah.
And that was a problem for
me. Get Hellcat in there.
Yeah. I dug that. But then I was enjoying it. So I was just like, if you want to just team up, that'd be cool.
So this isn't my official news, but so I know you don't give a fuck about the Arrowverse, but you know how they end up doing those big crossovers.
Yeah, apparently it's insane.
It's apparently people are really liking it. They already announced what the big crossover is next year.
Which is what?
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Because the Monitor is the quote-unquote villain in this one, and the Monitor, and many times, is saying he's testing the heroes because there's a bigger force that's going to have to be fought. And if there's only one thing a Monitor is going to fucking fight against, it's going to be an anti-Monitor.
Yeah, so what that's telling me right there is now Flash is going to be going towards, because how else are you going to do this?
Well, what they'll probably do is they'll throw 90s Flash at it. Because 90s Flash is back.
Yeah.
The guy from the original 90s Flash show is in this show. So one of the universes that the Monitor wipes out while testing everybody is the universe that 90s Flash was in.
Okay.
So he's crossing over with all of them. So if they're going to be doing that, they'll probably use him, because that's a good way to kind of be like, oh, he gets his heroic moment and Barry Allen starts his fucking inevitable terrible run toward death.
Oh my God! Just get Barry Allen, get Wally West, get Garrick. You might as well bring them all together and have them.
And they finally said the words Batman in the show.
Oh, nice.
You would. I think you would actually like their Superman.
Okay.
I like him because, for one, I know you like Henry Cavill. I know you say he's hot. But there's one thing that he lacks is charisma in any way, shape, or form. He is not charismatic. This Superman is very charismatic and actually closer to a portrayal I actually like about him, where he does feel like, oh, I'm just the corn-fed boy, and I'm like the hero. And
right.
Like, he's very, very earnest in like a really good way, and I do like their portrayal. So he's been running around. So I'm hoping maybe a Green Lantern at some point. Oh, maybe. Yeah. They've mentioned Green Lantern before.
Yeah.
But apparently Diggle is the Green Lantern in the same universe that 90s Flash is in. So
okay.
Anything could happen.
Interesting. Right. I know Stranger Things teaser trailer came out.
For season 3, we got
all the titles of the episodes.
Titles, yep. Which I'm looking That's forward to. Cool. Looks like they're going to fight in the mall, which I'm all down for.
I'm super down for that, too. What else came out for Netflix? I know that you were probably ready to roast me because they were going to remove Friends. And then they didn't, because the whole world rioted and they paid a fuck ton of money.
They paid way too much money for that
they
garbage
did.
Show.
Hold on. No. I'm not going to call it a garbage show, but I'll agree that they paid. I agree that they paid way too much for that show. I love Friends and all of that other jazz,
but
you could have gotten a lot of shows
for that money.
Not even for that money. You could have still paid them and not as much, like negotiate. You didn't have to pay them that much for another year. Like, that's insane.
But they saw the
one year. Like,
they saw the nerd rage and they said, shit, we need to keep this. And then they went, oh.
And to Friends' credit, so one interesting thing about Netflix is that we don't know what information they take
right.
about what we watch. Because they've been super secret about all those analytics. Because,
right.
hey, as we found out during 2016, apparently analytics will let you be able to manipulate and control fucking everything.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have made that amount of an investment in it if it wasn't
recurring. If they didn't know
that wasn't something in there.
Most watched fucking thing on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is always... I don't even watch it that much. To be honest, I'm always watching a lot of other shit that's on Netflix, but it'll always be on my most popular Netflix. Like, if you scroll through that, Friends will be there.
Because you always need something brainless to have on in the background.
I'm not even going to talk.
You do.
I'm not.
You can't tell me that is sophisticated fucking humor.
Don't even front. No. It's definitely not sophisticated humor, but I enjoy its lack of sophisticated humor.
So sometimes you need to turn your brain off.
Yeah.
And you need to put like.
Sometimes I watch home movies before I go to sleep. It's called We Bear Bears. Where
That's pretty fucking stupid. Yeah.
In the best way possible. I had an interesting news article that I found out, and I think you tweeted about it, Bear. The douche canoe on Fortnite that slapped his girlfriend while he was on Twitch.
Oh, I didn't tweet that out, but I know what you're talking about.
Oh, what were you tweeting about when you were yelling at gamers?
Oh, no, that was a retweet.
Oh.
I retweeted something about that. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, just gamers are fucking trash.
I have no idea about this.
Oh, okay, so there's a guy who was playing Fortnite
live on Twitch,
yeah. And his wife, girlfriend was yelling at him while he's playing because she had already cooked dinner, and you can hear a kid. So this guy's a father of some sort, but he looks really young. Like, I have no idea their ages. I don't know that much information because I saw the video of what happened, and that was enough for me.
Not enough sexual education.
and they're from across the pond. So she starts, like, telling him, like, to come because she's cooked dinner and this whole nine. And he starts telling her, like, he'll be there in a minute. And he keeps playing. And she's pissed. So clearly this guy's probably been doing this for a really long time. Well, she starts to fuck with him like what I would expect a married couple to fuck with. She starts throwing, like, bullshit at him. Like, she throws a bottle cap at him. Like, come on, the dinner's ready, blah, blah, blah. Then she throws, like, a cardboard at him. Still, all fair game. He throws it back at her. Fine. I'm still fair game with all of this, right? He continues to tell her. Well, then he starts to yell her to leave him the fuck alone, right? He gets up, and all you hear is him get up and say, I'll fucking go in a minute, and then you hear the slap, and then you hear her cry. And then the baby starts crying. She's still crying. He's yelling about how she's a fucking piece of shit and his whole fucking night, and all of this is happening.
On Twitch.
on.
Because he's
live
dumb.
On Twitch.
And so she's yelling on Twitch. You know, all those fucking people watching you play, he just fucking hit me in the face. Blah, 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 blah. And it's going fucking crazy. Well, some of the people on Twitch ended up calling the cops on him.
For once, somebody wasn't swatting. It actually was a fucking real ass.
Yeah, like it was like a real ass fucking situation. He ended up getting arrested for it. But it was just fucking...
That's
crazy.
Dumb.
That was. I thought that's what you had tweeted about because I had seen it on yours, and I was like, "What did a gamer do?"
Almost like, here's the problem. Like, every terrible fucking thing in some way has been somehow preceded by like nerds on fucking game things being extra shitty to people.
Yeah,
and it's almost like a litmus test. Like, I mean, I put my finger in the air and get the oh, that's how everything's gonna be terrible. That's what we're gonna fucking do.
Yeah. So
mistake.
I'm surprised that this doesn't surprise me, to be quite honest, that it's gotten to that point.
Where you're just like, yeah.
Yeah, and then I go, wow, I am that desensitized at this point.
What do you got, Kenny?
Oh, I remember the thing I teed, why is he games?
Yeah.
No, that's from Wreck-It Ralph.
No,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
I'm sorry, that's from Ralph, too.
Okay,
because that was just something I was laughing at.
No. This isn't what it was.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
I literally pulled it up because I thought I was like, wait a minute.
Or
I
you
know
must
it.
Have liked a tweet that popped up on mine.
That might have been it. Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, oh, it was yeah. Anyhow. Douche canoe. He's a douche canoe.
Yes, he is.
Fucking douche canoe. But I'm glad to those who called from seeing the live stream. Kudos.
We're not shitty.
Yeah, yeah. That was awesome. Kenny, what's your news for
that
this
was
week?
Awesome. Oh, sorry. I saw
yes,
Genie from
super
Aladdin.
Adorable.
Yes, but mines are really two mini updates, two mini news things. One is a personal one, which personal one is I just found out today that Binding of Isaac just got shipped.
Oh yeah, there we go. We the finally get a chance to do
that. It just got shipped from Cali, from Chattanooga. No, I'm sorry, Cucamonga, something like that. Cucamonga,
Rancho Cucamonga,
Rancho yeah. Cucamonga in California. So it's going to get here in about 5 days. So
oh, yeah.
So I can't wait. So that means right before Christmas, we get to fucking play that.
Merry Christmas to us.
Which is great. So we can actually have that on the Crit or Die podcast because you can play up to six people. The other mini update I have is actually since I saw the trailers for Captain Marvel, Avengers, and all that, and I wanted to start looking at other things that were happening, I ran into a sci-fi trailer for a movie that's coming out next year. Which I think is pretty cool, and the fact it has John Goodman in another sci-fi movie already makes it...
Love me some John
Yeah,
Goodman.
Exactly. So the movie is called Captive State. Pretty much the way that I describe it to people is just get the movie, Equilibrium, and then you get the movie They Are Alive, and then mash it together.
They Live?
They Live. And mash it together.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so, it's not going to have Roddy Piper, but I can.
Yes, I know,
that.
Right? And the movie basically it's about a totalitarian society where everybody's run by aliens, and aliens tell everybody everything is great, everything is good, just keep listening to us. There will be world peace. And apparently, supposedly, on the outside, there is world peace. There is no anarchy. There is no war. Everybody is happy. Of course, except for the few that are resisting because they realize that something's going on that people don't know about. So you run into the main character who you find out this main character has something that the society, which is called the network, wants. And the humans who are part of this resistance are trying to stop the aliens from getting him. And he has to choose whether or not to side with them or to go with the aliens, which reminded me a lot of Equilibrium in the sense where you put a guy in a normal situation in that world, and you give him something extraordinary to happen to him, which I think is going to be good. It's a very much a teaser trailer. It doesn't give you much other than John Goodman being very cryptic as fuck, and you don't know whether he's an alien or not, which is always good to find out.
Speaking of new movies, Pixar announced their next original movie called Onward.
I just saw the name. Is there any kind of hint about that?
Chris Pratt and Tom Holland.
Okay.
Are in it, and it is a movie about elves on a journey.
Okay. I remember hearing about this, but did they give any more information besides just the name? Or
that was it. Then we know who's in it. We know the gist that it's like they're on their way to go. I couldn't remember. I saw elves. I saw Chris Pratt, and I saw Tom Holland, and I was like, I'm in. and Pixar. I was like, okay, let's
do
it.
All right, let's do that.
Yep, elves. I'm totally, I love elves.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I did see Ralph 2.
Oh, yes. I want to see it.
Yes. I think you will find it amusing. It has a surprising amount of heart. I didn't expect the amount of heart it had, and then it sucker punched me at the end with Sarah Silverman delivering a line where I was like, oh.
In the feels.
Right in the feels. Ooh, that was unexpected feels.
Pixar for me, well, Disney movies haven't hit me in the feels since Big Hero 6.
Yo, but that was fucked.
Yeah, it was. But that's the last time that I was hit in the feels.
It was like ambush feels.
Yeah, it was ambush feels. I haven't.
No,
like,
it was one of those we were waiting, like, okay, we're in and say, oh, God, there it is.
No, but then another one came that I was not ready for. And then I was very.
Yeah,
very
no, you
Lego.
Got you got double
I
field.
I got double field and then dig the whole thing. So I haven't had feels for that. But I'm down for elves. I'm down for Chris Pratt and Tom Holland and. Anybody else who would jump on that, but I'm excited for that. So that's pretty much it. I don't think I got anything else for news, guys.
Yeah, for me, the only one I'll bring up since I've already kind of splatted all of the stuff that I wanted to talk about is they announced so Smash Brothers is going to have 5 DLC characters. So the first technical DLC character is the fucking Piranha Plant, which they're turning into a fighter.
That's awesome.
Which... first, I was like, what? And then the more I think about it, I'm like, that's actually pretty fucking funny. So that's not technically part of like their big DLC pack. It's like a bonus that they're doing. But so they're doing 5 characters, which at this point, you don't make an announcement that big unless these are going to be like guest characters from other franchises. So there are so many fucking characters that could have been made that could have been chosen here, right?
Right.
So I'm busting. I'm trying to think of like who the fuck is going to be. So then at the Game Awards, the Russo brothers... go on stage.
Oh,
and they're
going
to make an announcement. Uh-huh. The lights cut out to black. And then if you've played the RPG Persona, specifically Persona 5.
That's right. Yes, you told
it starts,
me.
Persona 5 starts up. The characters are talking. And at some point, an envelope comes. And the guy turns the envelope around. And the seal on the envelope is a Smash Brothers logo. So the main character for Persona 5 is going to be in Smash Brothers. Which makes little to no sense considering there's only... one small game that guy has been on a Nintendo console. Persona has been almost exclusively on Sony consoles for its entire fucking existence.
Right.
But that doesn't stop you from enjoying this.
Oh, no. I fucking love it. I'm all for it. Also, the shock on my face. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, they put Cloud in there, and Cloud has...
Yes.
Cloud appeared in one game.
Yes.
On the DS before he appeared in Smash Brothers. Now 7's coming out on Switch, so that'll be fine. But yeah, so that was the big surprise. No other information just besides the announcement, so that'll end up coming with a stage, come with the character, and a bunch of music. That's the other thing, too. There's like 800 tracks of music in fucking Smash between
shit.
All those games, and so that's like a perfect like library of that. So I'm just imagining how fucking amazing... like Persona music is going to be, and putting that in Smash Brothers, I'm just like, it's so good.
That'll be cool, man.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us on all the things, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yes.
We are on the Geek Bro Network, so you can check all the other podcasts on geekbro.net. And as always, I am Q. You can follow me at Qception on Instagram.
I'm Pedro. Don't follow me.
There you go.
There you go. Much better. This is Kenny. You can follow me on any social media under Mr. _, the _ in between each word.
I hate everybody. Stay geeky.
Don't follow me. Leave me alone.